our God and our Father. But we do give ourselves away because you've been so good to us. You've been faithful to us even when we are unfaithful to you. And Lord, for that we say thank you. Lord, we thank you for looking beyond our faults and supplying our needs. Even while we were yet sinners, you sent your Son to die for us. And for that we say thank you. Lord, I come now and I beg of thee that you would cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Grant, if you will, preaching power, not for fame nor fortune, but that somebody might be saved. Somebody's heart might be pricked. Somebody's faith might be challenged. Lord, I pray that you would open hearts and minds to receive what thus saith the Lord. Lord, you promised us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So touch our faith on today. We give you all the honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. On a hill far away stood the old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. How I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. About you this morning, True Light. But when I think about Calvary, I find myself clinging to that old rugged cross. It was at that cross that he paid our debt. And because of that, we are able to assemble here in this place this morning. Amen. We do offer praise and thanksgiving to God our Father, to his Son, Jesus, our Savior, and to the Holy Spirit, our Keeper, Comforter, and our Guide. To Dr. Golson in his absence, to Reverend Jones, pleasure to see you. We still haven't gotten together to write that book yet, but it's good to be here. Again, I'm excited about the invitation to come and share with you all again. Do honor my pastor, Reverend Rodney Perry, in his absence. I thank him for the for permitting me to come this morning to this music ministry. Haven't they blessed our hearts this morning? Amen. Amen. To the deacons and the ushers who have made us comfortable, and to all of you, my father's children. My mother is here, and I'm thankful for her support in ministry and her faithfulness. Our family friend is here. New Central Light has come this morning to worship here at True Light. So certainly thankful for you, Sister Barbara. I don't intend on being long this morning, but there is a word. In Paul's first letter to the church of Corinth, 1 Corinthians, yes, chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll begin with verse 16. First Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 16. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Amen. You may be seated. I want to simply talk from this thought. Where are you dining? Where are you dining? It is no secret that this world is comprised of many ways to sit and dine. There are buffets, and a buffet is a collage of multiple options to choose from. Typically, the cost is low for the buffet, and because it's a lot of food and low cost, normally the venue is crowded. Yes, sir. There are fast food restaurants, and fast food restaurants appeal to our physical desire. They appeal to our convenience. In fact, there's a menu board that sits on a drive-thru. You don't even have to get out your car. You can go and look. You're giving your food promptly. The issue with the fast food restaurant isn't that it's crowded, but it's that the food is of minute quality. It only satisfies hunger temporarily. Then you have what I like to call fine dining. Fine dining is a little more pricey. But you are given a server who gives you personal attention. They take the time to get your order. They spend time in conversation, and then they take your order to a chef, and that chef is qualified to prepare your meal. It may take a little longer, but the meal is prepared in accordance to your order. That's symbolic of what God has done for us, ladies and gentlemen. God is a qualified chef, preparing a meal for those who come to receive. I like to think that the server would represent the Holy Spirit, who communicates our order with the chef. And I like to think that the meal is Jesus Christ himself. So my question, True Light, this morning is, where are you dining? In our text this morning, the Apostle Paul has wrestled with the church of Corinth concerning their Christian conduct. He's perplexed because it appears that carnality has crept back into the walls of the church. In fact, he declares unto them, he says, "Where envy and strife are among you, are ye not carnal and walk as mere men?" The issue was, some folks said they were of Paul, others of Apollos, others of Cephas, others of Christ, and that's when Paul declares, "Is Christ divided?" And I find that interesting because it appears this morning, True Light, that the modern church shares the same plight. We still operate in carnality. And what is perplexing about that is the fact that Christ has crucified the old man. So why is it that we go back to our old ways rather than embracing the newness of life that God has provided? My Christian friends, I like to challenge you in thinking that every time you try to put on the old man, you are literally performing CPR on a dead man. The Bible says that we have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And because we've been crucified with Christ, we've also been raised with him. And he's given us newness of life. Paul reminds the church of Corinth of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. It's in this book that he says, "I profess to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And in our text this morning, he begins by reminding us of the content that's on the Lord's table. And I find that oftentimes we need to be reminded of the content of the Lord's table. Our text this morning says that the cup, which represents his blood — I want to pause and just talk about his blood for a second — on the Lord's table is his sacrifice, the blood that he shed on our behalf. Do you realize that this grace we call amazing and we sing about is only because he shed his blood? For the Bible declares that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Where are you dining, True Life? His blood has given us peace with God. Do you realize that before he shed his blood, that mankind was at war with God? And I'd like to remind you that any time you are at war with the Creator, it's a losing battle. But because of his blood shed on Calvary's cross, we now have peace with God. Not only does his blood give us peace, but his blood is, it has given him the authority to be the mediator of the New Testament. And that's interesting to me, because we are New Testament people, positioned in the dispensation of grace. in which Jesus Christ is mediator. But yet we live in a Christless society. And beyond the society being Christless, we operate in a Christless and crossless church. The death, burial, and resurrection has been erased from the church. But it's only because of his bloodshed that we can even call ourselves the body of Christ. Not only does Paul discuss the blood of Christ, but then he talks about the body. You know that body that was bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions. That body that was smitten and beaten and afflicted because of our sorrows. Yes, that body. That body that was pure and sinless. The body of Christ. My Christian friends, Jesus literally had no sin in him. And Dr. Walter Hill would say that life and death is in the blood. And because his blood was pure, there was no way for him to die. The only reason that death is a factor is because of sin. So if Jesus is sinless, then he can't die. So he's beaten. He's not dying, he's suffering. He's flogged. He's not dying, he's suffering. He carries a cross up Golgotha's hill. He's not dying, yet he's still suffering. They drive nails through his hands. They rivet his feet. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. He's not dying. He's suffering. But the moment they lift the cross, that pure body becomes cursed with our sin. Now he's no longer suffering, but he's dying. That body that was broken on our behalf. Not only do you have to be aware of the content that's on the table, but there's a certain character or manner at the Lord's table. And that character is the communion with him through his death, burial, and resurrection. Too many of us have relationships with Christ based on everything else but that communion. And when you're in communion with Christ based on what he's already done, then the conversation changes at the table. All you can think about, all you can talk about is what he's done on Calvary's cross. In fact, any conversation that we have with God comes through his word. And no matter where you look in the text, his word always points to Calvary. In fact, the Old Testament is leading up to the cross. The New Testament is the result of the cross. So if you are truly in communion with Christ, then your life will be consumed with Christ and him crucified. There is a certain manner that is at the Lord's table. And I'd like to put a pin there and remind you that if you are fellowshipping at the Lord's table, then it always demands separation from the table of devils. Because where there is the Lord's table, there are tables presented by the devil. The interesting fact is that God only offers one table that can seat whoever comes. But the enemy will position a table in front of you that appeals to each one of your individual physical desires. And you have to be careful, because anytime you encounter the devil, his agenda is always opposite of God's. Exact opposite. The Lord says operate spiritually. The devil says operate physically. The Lord says set your mind on things above. The devil says, set your minds on things right now. The devil's table offers temporary remedy. It's something like that fast food restaurant that only satisfies you for a temporary time. Most interesting thing about the devil's table is you would think that Jesus wouldn't be mentioned. But Christ is mentioned quite often at the devil's table. But it's not in the true gospel. You have people who lift the name of Jesus, but they don't lift it the way it ought to be. You don't have to take my word for it, but Paul said to the church, the Galatian church, he tells them that if anyone preaches any other gospel unto you than that which you have already received. In fact, he says, if we, he includes himself, he says, or an angel from heaven preach anything except the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. And the reason for that, my Christian friends, is only because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that we can have salvation. But yet there are churches that instead of shepherds leading flocks, is ranchers leading cattle. Instead of shepherds leading flocks, it's clowns entertaining goats. Because Christ has been taken out of the equation. The book of Romans, Paul says it to the church at Rome like this. He says that they serve not the Lord Jesus. Their God is in their belly. With good words and fair speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. That's the devil's table, y'all. It's deception wrapped up in what appears to be Christianity. But anytime, here's your standard. Anytime the cross of Christ is not mentioned, we got a problem. Our foundation is Christ and Him crucified. And I know that some of us have been saved longer than I've been alive. But your sustainment is Christ and Him crucified. Your fare has been paid for eternal life with God because of Christ and Him crucified. The only reason that we are on this earth is to represent, be ambassadors of Christ and Him crucified. There's a certain manner at the Lord's table. Not only that, but not only do you have to take the content and embrace the character, but you have to submit to conforming to the Lord's table. What's interesting is that we, as human beings, are unable to even have a natural appetite for the meal that God prepares. Don't take my word for it. The Bible says that there's none righteous. There's none that understand it. There's none that seeketh after God. But thank God for His faithfulness. His Holy Spirit gives us, hands us the appetite so that we can eat at the Lord's table. But once you take of that meal, you have to stay positioned at the Lord's table. We find ourselves getting in trouble when we have eaten the Lord's meal and we get up and go to the devil's table. And the reason is because once you partake of what God offers, you can no longer digest what the world offers. That's why you find yourself in trouble when you get up from the Lord's table. It doesn't sit well. You've been made new. You can no longer really conform to the way of the world. The old man has been crucified. And what's interesting is you hear a lot of time people ask the question, well, how do I stay positioned at the Lord's table? I'm glad you asked. The Bible says that, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. Here's the answer. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You want to know how to stop sinning? Walk in the Spirit. You want to know how to please God? Walk in the Spirit. You want to stay away from the devil's table? Walk in the Spirit. You don't have to turn backflips and cartwheels and run around the sanctuary 50 times. And you just need to walk in the Spirit. The Lord said to the woman at Samaria, he said that God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if you want to please God, if you want to stay away from the devil's table, then you have to walk spiritually. Well, I'm done now. My time is up. But while there are many tables set out before the church presented by the devil, while there are many tables set with the glamour of the world, True Light, I realize that the meals positioned on the devil's table only satisfies temporarily. But those of us that are of God, we know that we've been seated at the right table. Those of us that are seated at the Lord's table realize that we have eternal position at his table. Those of us that are positioned at the Lord's table, we realize that his table gives eternal remedy. Those of us that are positioned at the Lord's table, we realize the content of the meal. One Friday, he died on Calvary's cross. Can't you see him there dying for you? Can't you see him there making all things new? Can't you see him there turning around for you? That's what's at the Lord's table. I'm not worried about what the devil has to offer. I'm positioned at the Lord's table. Is there anybody here seated at the Lord's table? Is there anybody here walking in God's character? Is there anybody here walking in the Spirit? Where are you dining?